for us to be here on this beautiful Easter Sunday. Hallelujah. Oh, glory, glory, glory. Come on, did you welcome somebody just now? Did you say it's good for us to be here? Really, it's good for us to be here. Glory to God. All right. I want to talk to you today. And I don't know. I think we might just launch into a series. But something that will really bless our lives and lift us up again. You know, the Word of God just bless our lives, lift us up. We learn something new, something powerful. We have a new understanding that blesses us. And I believe total victory will bless us today. I want to talk to you about total victory. Total victory. I want to understand the victory of the cross, of the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. I want to understand that victory and how total it is. How total it is. The total victory, because we would say we have victory over the devil. Well, we are able to say, maybe boldly, maybe believers might be able to say boldly that, see, we, I have victory over the devil. And if we come to understand that victory and be taught that victory. But there's this victory that we also have to understand, the victory over sin and self. You see, very important. Total victory will deal with the victory over sin, over self, and over Satan. That's total victory. Total victory is the victory over sin, over self, and Satan. Total victory. So I want to show that. I'm just going to do that for you today. We're going to begin to look at scriptures. And particularly, we'll begin from the conversation about Easter. How Jesus Christ died and rose again. The thing about Easter is that we take the victory of the resurrection and we do not fully understand the implication of the victory of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And so in that lack of understanding, Satan traps and deceives believers, and because they do not understand the totality of the victory of the resurrection of Jesus Christ when he rose again from the dead. Right? And so Satan takes advantage. But if we are able to understand total victory, then we will be able to stop Satan, because we will cross the hand of faith in attempting to receive and to stop Satan, had passes through sin and self. And that when we do not see that victory, and we are fighting sin and self and claiming victory over Satan, we make it difficult and many times impossible to see the victory over Satan manifest. Because we are busy fighting sin, we are busy fighting self, and then we say that fight is okay. He has dealt a death-dealing blow to Satan. But he somehow left some fight for us, and so we are still in that fight. And so for many believers, all Satan needs to do is to throw sin there, is to throw self there, and keep them occupied there, and so they cannot enjoy the total victory of the cross. They cannot enjoy and see the manifestation of the victory over Satan. Because believers are wondering, why is that victory over Satan not seen? Why is it not manifest? I know. And then a lot of things we say on Easter Day, you know, Easter Sunday like this. But I want to talk to you about total victory. I want to get into it. Can I get into the message right now? I want you to pay attention, because it is very important that you understand and you see the foundation of the victory of the cross and the victory of resurrection. Alright. Turn with me. Let's begin from Matthew chapter number 18. We'll begin from the very beginning. Matthew chapter number 1, sorry, in verse number 18. We'll begin from the very beginning. On Easter Sunday, brothers and sisters, I have taught what pastor is 16 years, will be 17 this year in October. And I have taught, that would mean that I have taught about 17 Easter, 16 Easter, 17 including this one now, Easter Sundays. I have taught a lot of things about the victory of the cross. I have taught about eternity and the resurrection on the last day. I have taught about the fact that Jesus Christ died. And in the way we see ourselves in that death, we see ourselves, you know, in the resurrection also, and we'll enjoy resurrection power. We've talked about the power of resurrection, right? A lot of things. And today, I was coming out, just coming down to move my car out of the compound, and I met my neighbor, and she said, oh, happy Easter Sunday. Said, oh, happy Easter Sunday. I forgot this. And then she said something. She said, I wanted to get context, so you have to stay true and true. If you jump, you will miss my context, my talk. And he said, may the things that hold us back remain in the grave. May the things that hinder us, our troubles and all that, remain in the grave, and we'll enjoy the resurrection, enjoy resurrection and all that. I'm talking about troubles, sickness, disease, and all those things that hold us back. May they remain there in the grave, and then may we enjoy resurrection. And people do a lot of things about Easter. So, and somebody says that wrong or that bad. No, that is correct. But I want to show you how to actually enjoy it. Because as much as we say those things, we now find out that there seems to be a lag in what we are saying and the number of Easters and power of resurrection. And we say, where is the power of his resurrection? And we are looking for that thing. So I want to show you how it actually works, right? How it actually works. How you must enjoy total victory to now enjoy real victory. If you want to say something like that, that has to be total. Now, we're going to begin from the birth. Because you must remember that he was born to die. So his birth, the reason for his coming at all will show us and give us an indication about his death and resurrection. Come on. They are not in isolation. He came to die. We know that. So let us now let us hear why he came to die and rise again. He came, he died, and he rose again. So why did he have to do that part? So the beginning will tell us why the resurrection. The man that was born, the man that rose again today, we are looking, marking that memorial, is he was born. So he was born and he knew he would die and he would rise again from the dead. So that purpose, that statement from the word will guide us powerfully, and we'll see something there. Are you still here? Alright, let's begin. In Matthew chapter number 1 and verse number 18, now, so we are talking about the birth of Jesus Christ, because we are talking about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. There can be no resurrection if there was no birth. Abi? Alright. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Next verse. I can't really annotate so much, but it's powerful. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily and all that. But why? So, you know, that's okay. Let's not make this thing open. Let me just go my way privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. Next verse. And, alright, so we are there now. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. You see now. So he's telling us now. Then he says, why? For, clearly, he shall save his people from all the things that trouble them. You see, the scripture makes it clear. The things that really trouble you is why Jesus came. Sin. Alright. You shall call his name Jesus. Yahweh saves. Right? Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. He shall save his people from their sins. So he came to die and he rose up again for one purpose: to save his people from their sins. The people could have a different mindset. Because they don't understand the reason for their trouble. They don't understand why they are having the troubles they are having. So, if they don't understand it, this is what I'm trying to bring to you now. They will say he came to save them from their troubles, and they will be extending the power there, but not knowing that the real thing there is their sins. And so when Jesus Christ came, he came for one purpose. He knew he would die. The death was to pay a price for our sins. Because once he breaks the hold of sin, he has actually truthfully broken the hold of Satan. In breaking the hold of sin, he has broken the hold of Satan. In breaking the power of sin, he has broken the hold of Satan. Satan and death will walk only by sin. The real problem of anybody, the real problem they had then and today, was actually sin. And so that's what the Bible says now, that he shall save his people. His name is Savior Jesus. He saves Jesus. Yahweh saves. For he shall save his people from their sins. That's why the name, that's the explanation for the name. He's Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. This is Matthew chapter number 1. Go back to verse number 18. I want to show you something. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. This is the beginning of everything. If you read prior to now, he's talking about genealogy. But this is the first statement. This is the first thing he wants us to know about Jesus before we know him as healer. Before we know him as healer and walking on water and bread multiplier. We must first of all know. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. This is how I begin my story. I will tell you who he is. And he came to save his people from their sins. We do not know anything about Jesus. If you are reading the Bible and you pick up the Bible and you say, I want to read from the New Covenant, are you here? Yes. And then you begin to read, you get to Matthew chapter number 1, verse number 18, you've not seen Jesus heal anybody, but you know one thing about him today, already, now, as you are reading. What have you come to know? He saves people from their sins. Oh God, that's powerful. You've come to know him already as a deliverer, as one that saves you from sin. And you've not known that he can heal. At this point, you don't even know if he can heal anybody. I mean, a new Christian, a new believer is reading this thing. He doesn't even know. He just knows that, oh, this man Jesus I've been hearing about, let me read about him. And he's reading about him and he says, the first thing I know about him is that he saves people from, he has come to save people from their sins. You see what I'm talking about now? So, let us look at other scriptures. In John chapter number 1, we just came through in there. I want to show you, I'm going to give you 3 scriptures. In John chapter number 1 and verse number 29, the Bible says, the next day, John seeth Jesus. You see, John chapter 1, story has not gone too far. This is before wedding of Cana. In the next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him, and said, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. We have correctly taught that Jesus took and destroyed death, and destroyed the power of Satan. Correctly taught that, but in not teaching it properly, in giving the right understanding, the question is, how did he destroy death and how did he destroy Satan? How did he destroy the power of Satan? This is the correct foundation. He actually destroyed Satan because he took away the sin of the world. Now, because he took away the sin of the world, Satan became powerless. And unless we see that, we will not enjoy the victory as it should be. So that's why I'm talking about total victory. Unless we see that he dealt with self and allow the cross of Jesus Christ and stop fighting sin or fighting self and allow the cross of Jesus Christ to deal with our sin just the way we say he dealt with the Satan, and say that the cross of Jesus Christ, when he died and when he rose again from the dead, he dealt with Satan. He gave death a death-dealing blow. If we say that, we must understand that in that death-dealing blow, the only reason that was a death-dealing blow was because sin was actually destroyed. It took it away from this world. This is the Lamb of God. This is the understanding that they had. The understanding that John had, see the understanding that Matthew, what Matthew wrote in Revelation to us. Somebody, a man of God, put it this way. He said the first revelation of Jesus Christ to us in Revelation, as the book of the Matthew was written out of the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. The first revelation is that he came to save his people from their sin. First revelation. This is the first revelation every believer must have. This is the foundation of your victory. This is the foundation of your enjoyment of the power of God. That he came to save you from sin. John says, this is the Lamb of God. He takes away the sin of the world. He comes and he takes it away. Once he has taken away sin, then Satan has no power anymore. Satan has no hold anymore. And so we must see that and say, today, what I want to open your eyes to see is that Satan, the power of sin has been broken. Once you know that, then you say the power of death has been broken. You can now enjoy that, having seen the power of sin broken. Are you here?
Yes, sir.
So, John says, this is the Lamb of God. Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. It's not, this is the Lamb of God. Go get that chance. It says, this is the Lamb of God that comes and saves us from the Romans. The people, that's this issue, we are in it again. Somehow we are inside. We always bother about the things that are around us and not the thing that actually hold us. This is the Lamb of God that will help deal with these Romans, our oppressors. This is the Lamb of God that has come and died, and he has dealt with our all the things are finished that are dealing with you. This is the Lamb of God. But we now say, when he has handled that one, I will personally be fighting sin. Lord, I will not sin again. Do you understand what I'm saying here? Don't fight sin. You don't have any problem there again. Because actually he came to deal with sin. Having dealt with sin and eradicated sin, then you are free and the Satan no longer has power and hold over you. You must see that first. So it is not the oppressors. It is not the money. Let me tell you, not every believer will drive Rolls Royce. Not every believer will drive Rolls Royce. His death and resurrection does not bring every believer to the place where we will not drive Rolls Royce. But his death and resurrection brought every believer to a place of victory. Victory in your life. Victory over Satan. So that you can now begin to advance into your destiny. You get what I'm saying here? You now say now that the victory of the cross begins from, when you take it and it begins from that right place there, you will now be able to actually enjoy victory there. In essence now, you must see, and that's what we are, that revelation I want to share with you today. We must see that Jesus is the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. That takes away our sins. We are in the world, he has taken away our sins. Now that he has taken away our sin, then death has no hold over us anymore. I will get there. Let me give you one more scripture, right? 1 Timothy chapter number 1. I'll give you one more. John 1:18, right? His name will be called Jesus because what? He has come, he will save his people from their sins. John 1:29. This is the Lamb of God. Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. In 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 15, Paul says, this is powerful. This is powerful. This is a faithful saying. Is worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save what? Sinners, of whom I am chief.
Hallelujah.
He came into the world while we are celebrating his death. We must remember, he came into the world. The reason why he came to die and to rise again, all that death and resurrection was for one purpose: to save sinners. When he has saved the sinners from their sins, then he has saved them from the power of self and he has delivered them totally from Satan. You see, understand? If we say that he has delivered us from Satan and we are busy fighting with sin, then it is easy for us to be defeated. Because you just need to throw self into the picture and then the man himself. I've never said sin, no. I said self. I said three things. I said sin, self, and Satan in his direct progression. He dealt with sin. Once he dealt with sin, then the power of self is also broken. Selfishness died. Then Satan just became a powerless, toothless bulldog. Finish. That's it. Are you here? I'll give you scripture. Romans. Let's keep moving. The way you're still looking at me is like, hey, yeah, yeah. Let's go. Let me give you this one. Romans chapter number 5. You must understand that Satan held us captive by sin. Sin, let me do this. Sin is the hold. I try to draw this picture in my mind. So you look at it. Sin is the hold, right, of Satan there. So Satan can't hold you. The only way he can hold you is to have that sin in there in your life. And all that. And that sin there separates you from God. You cannot have the power of God in your life to experience victory. And so when he came, and we say now he dealt with sin, he broke the hold of Satan from your life and made you free to have relationship with God. You see that, how powerful that is there. And so when sin goes, the hold of Satan on all the road, the own road which he can get to you, is destroyed. And so he came to save his people from their sins. There should be no fight with sin. Imagine now that you are now busy fighting and saying that you have power over Satan, and you do not know that the hold of Satan has actually been destroyed. That you have complete pardon over sin, and you have complete power over sin. Some of us think we have power over Satan, but we don't have power over sin. That's very terrible. You didn't hear what I said? We have been taught that we have power over Satan, but we don't have power over the chain. I mean, the power over sin is the thing that breaks the power over Satan. Once you doubt that, there's no power over Satan. He that can accept the power of God and then delivering him from his sin will accept that Satan is gone and useless. Do you understand that? When we cannot accept that sin has been dealt with and we still bother to fight with it, then alas, the power of Satan is still very much active. Do you get what I'm saying? Okay, let me do this. Wherefore, let's do this. Look at this now. So maybe you can understand sin and death. Wherefore, by one man, sin entered into the world. You see that word now? What entered into the world? Sin entered. And then look at, you see the next, and what happened next? You see how Satan entered. Death could only come because of sin. So while you are busy thinking that death has been taken care of, but sin you have to fight, you cannot experience power over death. Are you here? Death follows sin. Sin came into the world and death entered, by sin. And so what passed? Look at what passed. Be careful. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Next verse. You see now that, let's do that first. Look at this way. Go back. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. So the only reason why death could enter into the world was because of sin. Right? And when sin entered into the world, it intoxicated everybody, and death passed upon everybody. Next verse. Let me do this. For unto the law, sin was in the world, but sin was not imputed where there is no law. Next verse. Nevertheless, you'll be surprised to see that sin did not reign, but it was death that reigned. Look at it. I'm not saying this. Look at it. You see it now? Are you seeing that? Sin did not reign. Sin was like the door that brought death. Sin didn't reign. Nevertheless, death reigned. Death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. So it was death now that is now reigning. Sin opened the door and death began to reign. If we do not reverse the process, we will make a mistake. If we do not say he has shut the door and we are fighting death, we will not find the power to defeat death. I'm telling you why things are still in your life and flourishing. And you are wondering what this Easter celebration is about. Can you see what I'm saying now? I'm saying that sin is the first thing that goes. If sin was the first thing that fell, it was after sin fell that death fell. But to say now that death in my life, when we say death, that's when we're not talking about the things that hold you. Sickness, disease, poverty, all that thing there, and all that. But to now be saying that all those ones are gone, but to say that the door is still wide open, it's a waste of time. Death will still be reigning in your life. And you've been wondering what Christianity is. That's why I'm talking to you about total victory. The real thing here is that when he came to shut, he closed the door. When he closed the door, he shut the power of death in your life. So, don't let the devil deceive you that you are still fighting sin. You don't have any business there. Jesus Christ defeated sin. In defeating sin, he gave death a death-dealing blow. That's how she says it. Are you here? Sin is that the issue is that the church don't want to talk about sin. If we talk about sin, we now mean people now because sin is nothing. Truthfully, sin has been dealt with by the cross. But Satan still uses it as a tool to get to believers. And then guess what they now start to do? They now start to fight it. You don't need to fight Satan. We are told. At the mention of the name of Jesus, every knee bows. Demons, devils, sickness, and disease. There's no sickness, there's no name. There's no name they've called the thing. You've heard all this kind of message before. I'm preaching it now. There's no name they've called it. The name of Jesus is higher than it. Huh? Have you? You see that clearly, and you are not standing to claim that. But when it comes to sin, you say, you know that nobody is perfect. You know that we're fighting. I'm still dealing with that thing there. Once you do not recognize that his death was to deal with sin, and you are trying to deal with Satan, sin will be there flourishing. Self will even be doing his own joiner. Self will still be there flourishing. I am like this. The way, you know, my parents trained me. So I came from a broken home. So the broken home, you'll be doing things that are hindering your life, and you cannot experience the life of God. And it will be self. That is self. That's not even sin. That is just self. That is just doing that one. That is self. I'm normally and naturally I cry. So I just cry. I don't cry. It's that is self. That's not even sin. Somebody says, is it a bad thing? Is it a bad thing? No, sir, it's not a bad thing. But self will be limiting you. Sin will be limiting you. Then you will not say, Calabasa, in the name of Jesus, Satan, you are talking nonsense. He will deal with you by putting things into your flesh. And in putting that you have enough battle to fight and defeat in your mind, such that you will not even be able to look him in the eye. I almost knew it won't fly, but I said I would teach it anyway. I could come and do your victory, you rose up from the dead. Then you go home and still do nonsense. Stupid, ignorant nonsense. And you say, I will try next week. It's not even try. In the name of Jesus, the power of sin is broken. I live in righteousness. Then, after you have established and understood that, you will enter into and say, now, in the name of Jesus. Do you understand what I'm saying? Whom God has blessed, no man can curse. The Balaam came and said, see, I can't curse them. Nothing. If I like, you bring all the offerings and I climb all the mountains, I will still open my mouth and I will bless them. Because God has blessed them, I can't curse them. I will tell you one thing to do. Get the children of Israel to mingle with those women. Mingle with ungodly women, the women that God has said they should not mingle with. Once they begin to do that, you will be able to destroy them. That is the counsel I give to you. What did they bring again to the matter? Sin. He said, I can't even curse you. I can't curse them. But one thing I can do is if you can tie them in that matter and they begin to do stupid, ignorant nonsense, then you don't even need to bother. They will fail. That's the road you will get to them. I'm telling you now, that road has been destroyed. So there's no hold in your life anymore. You need to see it. Somebody say, but Pastor, I'm struggling with sin. That's exactly why I came to preach. Jesus Christ died and rose again. And the Bible says he came to save his people from their sin. Have he saved you from your sin? One question. Has he? Say, Pastor, I'm struggling. You don't understand. Has he saved you from your sin? Is he the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world? Yes. Has he taken away the sins of the world? Yes. When he died, he paid the price for sin. Right? And I think Christians get it wrong. The price for sin was not paid to Satan. The price for sin was not paid to Satan. I think people made a lot of mistakes. The price of sin was paid to God. Actually, you've always made the mistake. It's not Satan. Don't pay Satan anything. He broke his oath by praying that God now has a free road in blessing these people. And so he said, there's now, by my blood now, you can bless them because I have dealt with sin. The sin is what separates you from God. But now he says, I have dealt with sin. Now hear me well. I have dealt with sin there. But Satan still continues to try to rope you there with sin. And if he continues that, the road to death in your life will still be there. The road of God will be there. You will now continue struggling. You will now be wondering what's happening. Do you get what I'm trying to say now? He dealt with sin. Right? That's it there. He dealt with sin. Okay, let's do this. You've seen that there. Can we read? Just read the next verse. Put the next verse. Let's see that. Next verse. But as not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one man, many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, had abounded unto what? Many. You see that now. Next verse. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many just offenses unto justifications. Next verse. For if by one man's offense, are you seeing death reign now? Are you seeing that? I told you, it's not sin that reigns, it's death that reigns. That's why he didn't come to deal with death. He came to deal with sin. He didn't come to the healing people. People say Jesus came to heal people. That's your real thought. Doctors heal people. Jesus came to heal people. That's your thought. He came to walk on water. He came to multiply. He came to give you money. That's dumb. You can have money without Jesus. That's not right. He came to deal with the real issue. Bible says the blessing of the Lord maketh rich and addeth no sorrow with it. It now means now that you can now prosper inside of Jesus Christ and be safe. Do you understand what I'm saying here? He came to deal with sin. Because it is sin that opened the door to death. And death now, I told you, you are seeing death reign. You not see sin reign. Because sin opened the door to death. And now believers are consciously now begin to deal with death instead of them to deal and see with sin. And say that when Jesus Christ died, they say he took away your sickness. Abi, how did he take away your sickness? By first of all taking away your sin. Do you understand that? I said you can now walk in healing easily. Jesus, have mercy. It has been long. I know it's very distorted something. I said he came to take away your sickness, right? When he died and rose again, he took away your sickness. I agree. I didn't say that is a wrong teaching. I'm only showing you the process. The process now is that he dealt with sin, which was the cause. What is the cause of the sickness first? Do you understand? We are looking at preventive medicine. We are looking at striking from the root of the matter. He didn't come and deal with sickness. That is pointless. That is a symptom. The real thing was the death nature in the world. So when he dealt with the death nature, that's why he came to take away the sin of the world. Took it away. And when he dealt with that, it now meant that the power of death was destroyed. If we cannot see that he dealt with that, but we are attempting to see that he dealt with diseases and sickness and poverty, it will be very hard. I try to make it easy. The process is that he came to deal with sin in your life, in my life. He came to eradicate sin in our lives. He says the nature of sin that holds you back, that made it impossible. You didn't have an option. There was no option. You had to live in this darkness. He opened the door and destroyed sin. And now open the door and say, now you have an option. life can flow into you. And when life begins to flow into you, guess what will happen? Health will follow it. Life, health, prosperity, all in this direction. But there was something only that ruled and reigned before. There was only one reigning, only one ruling. That was death. So death can still reign. It can still rule. It will still reign and rule where it has the dominion of what? Okay, for you to answer that one, you get that now. So you now say, so what you should be saying in the process and standing your ground and resisting is saying, I've died to sin. Sin has no hold over me. Once sin has no hold over you, then obviously you are experiencing, going to experience life. Sickness will be there, that will go, that will go. He didn't come to heal people. Physicians can do that. He came to break the power of sin. No physician can do that one. He came to do something that nobody else could do. And that power of sin in your life, I'm telling you today, it has been broken. Because he died and rose again from the dead, he signified that he destroyed the power entirely. So there's no sin in your life. He broke the power of sin. He broke the he saved them from the penalty of sin and gave us power to go and sin no more. He not only just pardoned us from sin. I mean, he told that woman, you remember that woman in John chapter 8? He said, go and sin no more. Read in your Bible. He broke the power. He said, there's no power. Sin cannot hold you. If he told that, okay, let me stop. Believers, I know it's going to be tough. I knew preaching it. But I said, I'm going to give this to the body of Christ. When he told that woman, stop, forget all this sister message. When he told that woman, go and sin no more, what do you think he was saying? No, it's a lie. It's a lie. That was it. He showed us a revelation that in my forgiveness, there's power over sin. In his forgiveness. Now we say he has forgiven us. He has forgiven me all my sins. Huh? Right? But the next thing he tells us to, like he told that woman, is go and sin no more. I'm telling you now that sin has no power over you. If you want to say, Pastor, I'm seeing a sin, there's a power of sin in my life, I want to also now tell you there's power of Jesus Christ also in your life. Why don't we always accept that part? Why do we now feel that we must take this part? Because we are not seeing the victory of Jesus Christ on the cross. You get what I'm saying now? Let me just show you something. Go to 1 Peter chapter number 2. I want to do something for you. We'll keep on going. We erroneously think that Jesus did everything for us in the death and resurrection, but left sin for us to continue fighting with. If he left sin for us to continue fighting with, there's a problem. Means we're not really free. The victory was not total. But for the victory to be total, he went to the root and removed it. When you have seen that the root is gone, the power of sin is dead. The sting of sin is dead. So now, if you now say that sin is gone, then the sting also becomes powerless. The only reason why death couldn't hold him was because there was no sin. The Easter you are celebrating today, the reason why death couldn't hold him is because there was no sin. The reason why sickness can't stay in your body because sin has been destroyed. Destroyed. Now, rise up. Go and sin no more. When he told you, he was just making statements. Of all the things that Jesus could say, he just said nonsense. You say, Jesus, that time, this is a powerful something now. But anybody, can anybody call me and say, Pastor, that's what he said, it's not possible. So I now say, what did Jesus say? He meant that you should be careful. That's the problem. You see now, it means that person is accepting sin and fighting death. It's not possible. You must also reject, the way you reject death, sickness and poverty, that's how you way you reject sin. I say in the name of Jesus, the power of sin in my life has been broken. When Jesus Christ died on the cross, he took away my sins. That is striving of sin, that nature of sin has been destroyed. The door is shut. He died and gave and destroyed the power of sin. And so he opened me up now to the newness of life in Christ Jesus. Now I have the power over sin. I'm not fighting it. Power over sin. And you will find that you will walk in righteousness. I want to show you that Jesus Christ came to deal with sin, and then sin will deal with. Then in that dealing with sin, other things are taken care of. Look at this. 1 Peter 2:24. I'm showing you scriptures. I knew it to be hard, but let's try. Who Can we leave this picture? Go to Romans chapter 8. Leave this. I'll come to this now. I want to show you something quickly. It just is boiling my spirit. I put everything together. So let's look at this first. Romans chapter number 8, verse number 1. Romans 8, 1. Let me do this first. I'll come back to this. Don't worry. You see, it's clear anyway when we read it, but there's no problem. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Who walk... Are you still in church today? Who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Next verse. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has what? Has made me what? Free from the law of what? There's the law of sin and death, but the Bible says we have been free from that law. You understand the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. That's resurrection life. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. You know, when he talks about the Spirit of life, it's just the Spirit of life. But when he talks about, he said the law of sin and death. So when there is sin, the effect of sin is death. So the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law, not the law of death. You wonder why he said the law of the Spirit of life. The next thing will say the Spirit of death. But he didn't say the Spirit of death. He said sin before he now said death. Because it's sin that opened the door to death. So what did he deal with? He dealt with what? Sin. As now that he has dealt with my sin and taken it away, death now has no power over me. Do you understand that? It's not popular, but it is powerful. Go to 1 Peter now. Go to 1 Peter. Look at this now. I want to show you the law of sin and death. I will show you here now. Who his own self bear our sins in his own body on the tree? People always say he carried those things there. But look at it. Look at what did he bear, on his body? Sin, right? That we now be what? You know what death to sin means? It means we no longer respond to it. Yes, there's no response. Some of you say, Pastor, I'm fighting with this sin. That is your first mistake. Yes, I've not come to say sin, you have to be careful. Now. I've come to tell you that you are finished with it. He bore our sins and died on the cross. You say he took my sickness and died on the cross. I say, keep quiet. First of all, hear my own first. He took your sin. Hi, Christians, God have mercy. You see what I'm saying now? See, he took your sickness on the cross. Did I say that is wrong? Understand the foundation upon how it happened. In the container, thank you. I'll try. Please, maybe you'll still preach your own after I preach my own. We'll be here so that we get it, right? How did he take your sickness on the cross? No, where was the cross? He was now sick with malaria. Are you really? 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 He now had cancer. Really? The description is that when the Bible says in Isaiah 53 that we could not look at him, he was disfigured, and that they said there was cancer. If you see that thing there and there was cancer, how many cancers could he have and manifest in his body? How many malaria and typhoid and swelling and inflammation could he have? Listen, if all that disease was manifest in his body, he would dematerialize immediately. What was manifest in his body is what is written here in a sin. In the sin, there's all the sickness and disease. There's all the poverty. He didn't need money on the cross. So if you say he took my poverty on the cross, you will not say that all the money was leaving his pockets. You see now, they are trying to... I'm not offended with anybody. Please take note. I'm not blaming anybody. We are all trying to paint a picture for believers to see. But the greatest picture I can paint for you is that when he died, he took sin on the cross. In sin is death, sickness, poverty, and everything. Right? I want to show you in one verse, powerful. Who in his own self bore our sins in his own body on the tree, in his own body. That we are now what? He said that the door to sin, the connection with we and sin, has died. There's nothing like that again. You see, Professor, I said there's nothing. Now, I can't tell you today. There's nothing there. Don't play with that nonsense. Sin is gone, self destroyed, Satan gone. All of them destroyed. We are now dead to sin. What do we now do? Now live unto righteousness. Simple. So it's easy because we are dead to sin. But somebody said, I'm still fighting sin, Pastor. Don't worry, righteousness is rising. It's not rising, it's there. Sin is dead, it's sin. Aha. Do you see the next verse there now? By whose stripes ye were healed? What did he deal with first? Sin. After telling us about sin, look at the statement. Ask me where, by whose stripes is you were healed came out from. Where did he come out from? Where did he come out from? He's dead, destroyed sin. When he destroys sin now, healing can now flow into your bodies. That's not a private scripture. Put it together. Just together. As he destroys sin, he destroys sickness. But we keep teaching people erroneously, Pastor, that he destroyed sickness. He destroyed poverty. He didn't have power for all those nonsense. He just destroyed the thing that held you back. Sin. Once he did that, finish. Poverty also became a non-entity. I want to preach from one popular verse. I want to quickly do this because I'm running out of time. In John chapter number 19. But did you see that here now? He said, stop. Don't move from here. But who is so self-aware as sins his own body on the tree that we've been dead to sin should live unto righteousness? By whose stripes they were healed. He not even talk about the sickness, the disease, the trouble, the ulcer, he didn't even talk about them. He just talked about the sin. And now we are alive to righteousness. And now we are healed. Are you here now?
Yes, sir.
He himself took our sickness on the tree. He didn't say he took our sickness on the tree. He took our sins in his own body on the tree. He bore it, took it away. He bore the sins, he died. If the sin was that powerful, it would have held him in the grave. That's what I'm preaching on Easter Day. It couldn't hold him. When people say death couldn't hold him, it's a very nice statement. I'm being very frank and I'm sorry. I know when I'm preparing, I said it will burst every bubble everywhere and people could be really angry. But sorry, it is not the death that couldn't hold him, it was sin that couldn't hold him. Because sin couldn't hold him, death couldn't hold him. The sin, he dealt with sin. He took the sin away, came, carried the sin and took it away and died with the sin. When he rose up, he said, I've left it. What he left there was sin. Then the thing that followed it is death. But we erroneously always teach death, and say sin, alright, we can deal with that. We will deal with the sin in our lives by understanding that he has dealt with it already. And so when we stand, the way you say, because Jesus has taken your sickness on the cross, that's the way you will deal with any sin in your life and say, Jesus has taken away my sin on the cross. We say he took sickness and poverty, but he didn't take sin. We will be dealing with that one. That's not total victory. The real victory is that he dealt with sin. Are you here?
Yes,
only I think the yes side is beginning to progress a little bit forward. Are you getting what I'm preaching now?
Yes,
alright. Where does it turn to now? Huh? John chapter number 19. This one would actually also cause trouble. But I'm willing to enter into the trouble. John chapter number 19 and verse number 30. Now, John chapter number 19 and verse number 30. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished. Alright? And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. That's the last thing he said. Last thing, finish. He said, it is finished. I'm not going to give you the Greek. If you want to study, you can easily do it. It's not even hard. Right now, everybody can study it. It is finished. The word in the Greek, it is finished. I won't give you, there's no point to start speaking Greek. The English is sufficient. The word in the Greek, before it is finished, so you just double check it. It says that the payment, it is paid in full. That's what it said. That's the word in Greek. That's that thing they translated, it is finished to. It is paid in full. That's what it said. So when we now say it is finished, they say that what he meant is that your sickness is finished. Your troubles are finished. The things that trouble you are finished. But somehow we fail to tell people that the power of sin in your life has finished. Nobody tells that. Nobody says it. Funny, when I'm saying nobody says it, I've been pastoring, I've been preaching, I've never said it. I've never heard it in my own life as a Christian coming up. I'm not joking. It's what the Lord spoke to me in December last year. He began to talk to me about victory. I've told you several times. He began to talk to me about victory. What really victory is. Sometimes we come and say victory is I just got a car. Victory is I just got a house. Victory is power over sin and power over self. That is victory also. And power over Satan. That is victory also. We must begin to see that victory also in our lives. That is complete victory. Don't talk to me about it. That's the only reason I could see this. Even I would have probably seen it. Victory. What's this victory? What's victory? We are jumping and saying victory. He said it is paid in full. That's what he said in the Greek. The translation will give you right. If you take the Greek, just the Greek word for this thing that by pastors, you can even add your pastor's name to it. He said this, he said this, he said this thing. The Greek word is this, it's finished. Check it. It is paid in full. That's what it means. But we quickly take it and say, your poverty is finished. Your sickness has finished. And I am saying that is very correct. But what is the process by which your poverty has finished? The process by which poverty finishes is that the price of sin has finished. There's nothing to pay again. So sin can no longer hold you. Death can no longer hold you because sin has been paid. It means now that you have access to the divine nature that you and I can enjoy and use freely to defeat sin. To defeat death, rather. We are using that to defeat death easily. But before we can recognize that, we must understand that he has given us the power. He has not only provided pardon for sin, right? He has given us the power to go and sin no more. And we will deal with that sin the same way we deal with sickness. We say, in the name of Jesus, sin has no power over me. And I am free from the power of sin. Now, if therefore I am free from the power of sin, which brought in death, it means now that this sickness also has been destroyed. Because the foundation of sickness is sin. And he dealt with sin. Are you still in church?
Yes, sir.
That's my message. Right? That's my message to you. That sin has been dealt with. That when he rose up again from the dead, it meant that his purpose, the reason why he came to take away the sins of the world, to save his people from their sin, was done. He saved us from sin. And when he saved us from sin, he said, means he didn't do anything. No! He saved us from the death. Because in destroying sin, death doesn't really follow. Death is just following sin. Death don't have any part. Death does not know anything. Death is actually irrelevant. It was sin that came into the world, and death by sin. So death is just death. Once he dealt with that thing, he dealt with death. When he rose up again from the dead, today we celebrate Easter, we say now that he took away and destroyed sin. His purpose on earth was fulfilled. He died and actually rose from the dead. And that purpose is what? So if somebody asks you now, what was the purpose of the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ? You can say, behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. You can say like John. Or you can say like Paul. You see what Paul understood? Paul said Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Their understanding is different. We say Jesus came to the world to ensure that we are all rich and buy Cadillac. You won't buy Cadillac. The chance of you buying one Rolls Royce is very slim. Very slim. But the chance of you walking in victory over sin is 100%. People are thinking that the progress of our lives will be seen in the progress of our cars and our houses. So we now say that that's free progress. That's not progress. You will be sad, depressed, confused, and all that, even with all that, if sin is still reigning in your life. If sin is still reigning in your life, it won't work. And so we now say that he came to do all that stuff. And so people are approaching this thing wrongly. Christians now are approaching it wrongly. And once you approach it wrongly, you will not find that the devil will still keep nagging you and still keep destroying you and affecting you. But if you stand and say, oh, this is the victory that I enjoy. All believers are equal in the sense that we can enjoy the victory that the man of God, the manness of God, God that you know of enjoys, is the same victory that you can enjoy. In fact, the only reason why he can enjoy a certain level of victory is because he has come to also enjoy a certain level of sin-free life. If it is erroneous for them to teach you that you can continue living in sin, and allowing the devil rope you inside that thing and condemn you and bring you there and put you there, and you are there, and that you can just go and say Kalabaya, you will still say Kalabaya. You still say all those things. Well, the devil will have that inroad into your life and he will continue to disturb you. So if you want to stand your ground first against sin and say, sin has lost its power over me. Then it will be easy for you to stand your ground against the devil. And you say, in the name of Jesus. When you stand and say, in the name of Jesus, you will stand with boldness and confidence, knowing that the cross of Jesus Christ has taken away your sin. And when he tries to bring it up, you say, see, Jesus Christ dealt with sin and gave me the power over sin. And when sin tries to well up in your body, you say, Jesus Christ gave me the power over sin. Like that woman, I will come to that woman who still is invented a series like this. Like that woman, you will say, he told me, go and sin no more. You say, in the name of Jesus, this thought, go. No hold over me. Once you have immersed, you have stood in that victory, you will stand now in the victory over self without stress. And then when Satan see you, he won't even bother. Because you now know the code. You have the code now. You have dealt with the thing that he is about. You say, so who are you? I mean, the real thing has dealt with. So who are you? The only reason why Satan could run around and do everything is because of sin. Other than that, he couldn't do anything. And so when he came, he dealt with Satan by dealing with sin. He said, these people you see, have taken away their sins. I said, I want to try. Are you cutting this? I can go. But you see it now. These people you are seeing now. These people have taken away their sins. So don't leave your side. So you're not like, okay, I can't touch them because he has taken away their sin. The only power he has was the sin in their lives. But he destroyed sin. And then he gave them power and the victory over sin. The same way he gave them power, and you know he gave you power and victory over Satan. He gave you power and victory over sin. Are you here? So before you're striving to be equal with, I don't want to call anybody's name, so that you see God and you are commanding the finance of that man to be the same finance with you, first command the victory of the cross, the victory of sin in your life. Or else devil will use sin to continue to torment you. He will keep you in a perpetual battle. But believers can live above sin. We can live above sin. He has delivered us from the penalty of sin. He will deliver us from the power of sin. A time will come, a dear man of God said this, he will deliver us from the presence of sin. And that time is when we go to meet him face to face. Now, sin will still be present amongst us. In fact, it will be present in our members. It will still be present there. But the time will come, there will be a body that sin will not be present at all. It's not be present in our members, not be present amongst us. So we have the power. I like this way we say, I've told you we are delivered from sin, self, and Satan. I'm telling you now that you have given us the power. He has delivered us from the penalty of sin, which is sin, the consequence of sin. So when we say by sin, so what will happen? The consequence of sin has been destroyed. That consequence is gone. The power of sin, that sin will now hold you, will now continue, live and be a slave. You don't have to be slave of sin anymore. Go to Romans chapter number 6. And then I'm ready to go. Don't worry. I just want to read that scripture for you. And then he also delivers us from the presence of sin. A time will come, we'll live in a world where there's no sin. That world, he will reign and rule on this earth. Hallelujah. Somebody blessed today?
Yes, sir.
Thank you, Jesus. Romans by chapter number 6 and verse number 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Next verse. God forbid. You see what Paul, you see Paul's understanding? Paul doesn't say we'll fight it, don't worry, we'll keep fighting it. He says no. The question is, use your mind. How shall we who are dead to sin
live any longer therein. He says it's not even possible. You are not even supposed to be fighting it. You know what it means to be dead to sin? It means that the connection between you and sin is dead. There is no connection. It's not like I asked you to speak French. It's the same thing. When it says you will be struggling to sin, you have to actually struggle to sin. You have to literally decide that this is, I want to just live small. It is sweet me. That is the only way. That's the only way. He can't have any power over you. Say, no, he has power over me. I'm telling you, it's a lie. Somebody say, but I still sin. Now I'm telling you that he doesn't have power over you. Actually, you are more powerful than sin. Because Jesus Christ took away the sin. He dealt with it. He destroyed it. He came to save sinners. Did he save sinners? Was he successful? He died and rose again. That tells us he was what? Successful. So he saved you. So where is the sin still there? Say, God forbid. How shall we, who are dead to sin, live any longer therein? Finish. No hold. Finish. Believers, children of God, forget that thing. And you say, Pastor, there's something in my life. So today, this Easter is the day you stand and you say, sin. What's the meaning of Bonifia? I don't know the meaning, but that's the word. Is that an evil word? Is that an evil word? I don't know. I wanted to say it, and I decided not to say it. But I still said it out loud. Anyway, guys, get out. It looks like get out. It sounds more like get out. Whatever it is, just sin. You don't have any power over me. Why? Jesus Christ died and rose again. Use this star properly. Use this star. Right? Once you have that victory there, then Satan, death, sickness, disease, they are now boys. So we have to strive to get the revelation, this revelation into our spirits and live from there. Once you understand this thing, go and take this message again. It's a deep one. Deep one. Get the message, play it again, and let it dawn on you. And then you walk away and say, no, then once you can see that sin is no longer has power, and that sin and death are connected, and sin is no longer has power, it means that death, the younger brother, come on, it's no longer has power. That was death. If the other brother, sin, that came and cleared road for death to come, we dealt with that one, then that one becomes a small thing. You begin to see victory. That money you are pursuing, and say, Jesus Christ died to give me money. No problem. You will see it. You will see it. Because he died first of all to deal with your sins. Father, I thank you. Today I want us to stand and pray. Thank you for your word. I want us to say, Lord, in the name of Jesus, I see my victory over sin. Or whatever sin that is still around in your life, in your body, is still there, and you still feel that, and you see the pastor, I was fighting. I am telling you from today, you are no longer fighting. You say in the name of Jesus, the power of sin is gone. I see in the resurrection of Jesus Christ that Jesus Christ died and rose again, and he took away my sins, and he destroyed sin, and thus destroyed death. In the name of Jesus, I stand at the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, and I destroy, and I say, the power of sin is gone. In the name of Jesus, I have been forgiven, declared righteous, and I am dead to sin. Come on. Declare, I am dead to sin. 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 And because I am dead to sin, sickness has no power. Death has no power. Poverty has no power. In the name of Jesus, people of God, come on. The effect of sin, death, is gone. I am dead to sin. Jesus Christ came to save sinners, and he saved me and delivered me from the power of sin. In the name of Jesus, I am free from sin. Whatever it is that holds you back, whatever it is sin or self. Come on, I am dead to self. This self life in me is gone. In the name of Jesus, the power of sin, the power of self, and the power of Satan, totally destroyed. I stretch my faith and receive all that God has in store for me. In the name of Jesus. He came to save his people from their sins. In the name of Jesus, I am free from sin. Lekota rika liba ridoba. Jate kale imo regala. Jate kali oru obe asana. Etaka balesuke. In the name of Jesus, sin is destroyed. I want you to see Jesus. I want you to see Jesus. I want you to see Jesus rise again, from the dead, and see the victory of the cross, and say it is total victory. Jesus rose again from the dead, and you say it is total victory. Total victory for my life. That victory of the cross, the victory of resurrection, destroyed sin in my life. Satoli aligo paregas. He bore my sins on the cross, and so there's no sin in me anymore. There's no sin left again. There's no sin in me anymore. There's no sin left. Come on, you say in the name of Jesus, there is no sin in me anymore. There is no sin left. The sin nature has been destroyed. He bore my sins in his own body on the cross. He destroyed the sin on the cross. He rose again and said, it is done. This is the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. Jesus, he died and rose again. The Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Kaleso prekaligo setara. Come, I want you to pray. This is the time for you to pray. In the name of Jesus. Sin is gone. Self is gone. Self is gone. Satan is destroyed. Death is destroyed. Kalabaka salababaya sotoliko. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Easter. We're going to enjoy Easter as we progress, as we move today, and we stand and say in this revelation, in this light that I now have, that death came into the world through sin, and that Jesus Christ came to take away sin. Now that he has taken away sin, it means that he has also taken away death. And so you stand and say, I am not even fighting death. That becomes easy. Come on, that becomes what? Easy. You stand and say, I'm standing against sin, and Jesus has dealt with it. Now, once you have stood in that place, I want us to pray and receive healing today. Today, say Easter Sunday, we should enjoy it. You will enjoy it. I want you to enjoy it now by seeing the process, right, of his death and resurrection. So, you know, when we always talk about Jesus Christ, can you stay with me? Very powerful. Don't run away from me. Say Easter Sunday. We must talk about Jesus Christ. He died and rose again. You can never say Jesus Christ died without mentioning that he rose again. It is a combination. The two things come together, right? In death, we see that spirit is taken to the grave. In resurrection, we see that life has come, right? We see that that thing was actually dealt with, and sin had no power to hold him there. If there was sin, he would have stayed there and won't come out. But there is no sin. He took it, destroyed it, and came out victorious. It means sin has been dealt with. Now, we will stand and say, in the light that I have now received, that death, when we are saying death, right, we are talking about sickness, poverty, disease, all those things there, that those limitations that you are talking about, I'm agreeing totality. I'm showing you a process now. You will now say now that sin, I see clearly that Jesus Christ was successful in dealing with sin and my sin. Now sin has no power over me. I mean, I am free, totally free from the power of sin. I'm free from the penalty and then also free from the power of sin. Then you will not say, if I'm free from, again, like I said, sin, which is the elder one, which is the Baba. The death came after sin.
It means now you will not take that power, that authority, that same authority upon which you stand and say, in the name of Jesus, that it means now that disease, that sickness, poverty cannot now stay. Are you here now? I want you to stretch your hand. You now say all those things about myself. You say somebody say this thing is in my family. That is self. You now say I'm a very weak person. That is self. All those things about self that limit you. Somebody say, Pastor, I just find that it's hard for me to. Depression comes upon me. There are times depression will just be heavy. That is self, right? That is devil uses all those things from self to also get to you. And you know that is self. You are destroying all that. You are going to stand and say, the power of sin is gone. The power of self gone. Self has no power over me, and Satan has no power over me. And then you will not be able to claim your victory. Total victory, Abby. You will claim your victory. Victory of his death and the resurrection. Like this, you claim it in the right order. Are you here? You will not claim it in the what? In the right order. Start with sin. You deal with sin. You see it clearly. You move progressively and say, "Self, I don't play. I'm not living." Then you move. When you get to the last person, like you see the stand. By now, you should be gone. Are you ready? I want you to deal with it in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, move progressively. Stand and say, "Jesus Christ dealt with sin. He destroyed sin. Sin no longer reigns in me. No matter the sin, no matter how you have been, sin has no dominion. I'm not in the territory of sin. Right? I'm no longer in the territory of sin. Jesus Christ died and took away the sin of the world. I have given my life to Jesus. I have given my life to Jesus. I have given my life to Jesus. Now, the power of sin has been destroyed. I'm not fighting sin. Jesus Christ bore my sins on the cross. Jesus Christ bore my sins on the cross. I'm not fighting it. I have the power to go and sin no more. Thank you, Jesus. Self, the weakness and limitations of myself have been dealt with. In the name of Jesus. Self have been dealt with, and so I walk in freedom, greed, selfishness, pride, ego. All those things have been dealt with. Thank you, Jesus. Then you move progressively and say, in the name of Jesus, sickness and disease dealt with. In the name of Jesus, thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. In your death and resurrection, I walk in power. In your death and resurrection, I walk in total victory. In the name of Jesus. The power of sin is death. He said, death. Sin has been dealt with. What are you still doing in my life? I see and I know that sin has been dealt with. What are you still doing? Away with poverty. Away with disease. Away with poverty. Away with sickness. Whatever it is. Away with it. Has no power in your life. Thank you, Father.